This program was first broadcast on Arrow FM, Wairarapa's only community access media station, and shared on Access Media with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora, you're listening to Film Talks On Air. I'm your host, Jane Ross. Joining me today is Richard Faulkner. Kia ora, Richard.
Kia ora, how's it going?
Very, very well, thank you. I'm just delighted to be talking with you today. And I'm going to start by asking about your journey into working at Nataona.
Righty-ho. So my way into it was probably as unusual as many people's journey into where they end up in film, which was that in 2009 I was in Wellington doing lots of bits and pieces, working in video and doing lots of theatre and music and stuff, and to get a bit of a gig in between other jobs, I started working in the cafe at what was at that point called the Film Archive on Taranaki Street in Kasni. And
I remember it well. What a wonderful place to work.
It was, yeah, it was great. And that was really cool. And then at some point in, I think, 2010, a spot opened up in the film team. And even though I didn't really have specific film handling qualifications, I gave it a go. I was encouraged to give it a crack because there isn't really any training for film handling or film archiving in New Zealand. So I gave it a go and, yeah, got to get into the film team that way. And I've just been here ever since. Because it's a pretty amazing job.
What a magnificent way to join the film team. So you basically learnt as you went. You had some pretty good mentors around you.
Yeah, absolutely. The best you could hope for, really. And, it's been pretty long learning journey. You know, I started, the first gig I had was winding through just basically lots and lots of 16mm film. And then from there I wound through every print copy that we held of every film commission film to sort of do an audit of what things were and sort of learning how to do sort of like analysis of what the picture quality was like and the state of the prints and things. Got lots of experience in handling those basic things and then built up from there. And then at some point, I think 2014 or 2013, the Film Archive got its first film scanner, which was just a small gauge scanner for 8, Super 8 and 9.5mm film called the Flash Scan HD, which we only quite recently stopped using last year when we just got an upgrade to that equipment. And, yeah, so that was the start of the digitization journey for Ngā Taonga, and I was lucky to be there at that time and got to learn how to use that equipment. And then about a year later, we got our very first sort of large gauge film scanner, an Arri scan made by Arri, the famous German film company. And that was a completely different thing. That was a very complex, Linux driven, you know, 700 kilo, ultra precise 35 and 16mm scanner, which was the beginning of a very long road of learning complicated image practice, I guess. Digitization. Yeah.
Well, I have, as you know, visited the wonderful film preservation team and seen what you do in action and seen the equipment that you use. But can I say, seen how enthusiastic and really into the work that you do, to the point that as an observer it looked like, and I made the comment at the time, you are all living your best lives.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, it's a pretty amazing place to be able to work, and it's we're really lucky. We've got a facility in Motutawa and Avalon now that's we've really been able to build to suit, you know, the work that we're doing, which makes a huge difference. And it's you know, everything's always changing and there's always challenges, but we're definitely where we want to be, which is awesome.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Well, the festival celebrates its fifth birthday this year, which I'm enormously proud of. It was launched during
awesome.
The pandemic. Oh, thank you very much. But Natauna has always been part of the film festival, and I'm really, really happy about that. In the early days, it was films that had already gone through film preservation. We had the absolute privilege of screening Rewi's Last Stand in the very first year of the film festival. But it was last year where I started to become more engaged with the film preservation team. We did that wonderful work on restoring Vincent Ward's earliest surviving film, Mara Olsen.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, wasn't that an incredible community outpouring? You know, people with living memories of Mrs. Evelyn Olsen and just queuing to come and be able to see her and experience her again on a big screen. It was really incredible.
Oh yeah, and that was a really great example of really that payoff for film preservation, where you get to see that, you know, film really can hold, sort of be the crystallization of people's memories, you know, like yes. It can really hold and unlock memories for people that, you know, you get a crowd of people and you see the misty eyes at the end of a screening like that, and you see people, just all of these memories that are conjured up for a whole community, and it's a pretty beautiful thing to see in action. Yeah,
it really was. And we rescreened over Labor Weekend down in Martinborough for anyone that had missed the screenings in Masterton, and we had sold out screenings in Masterton. And on that occasion, we had two great nieces. One travelled all the way down from Mungify Heads on a road trip with her husband,
wow.
and picked up another great niece of Mrs. Evelyn Olsen in Rotorua, and they made it down, and we still get people making inquiries now about how they can get to see this film. So it really continues to resonate for this community. But actually, just beyond, you know, we've heard from relatives in Australia as well that would love the opportunity to be able to see this film. So she meant a lot to a lot of people. Richard, I'm absolutely thrilled that we're going to be able to screen Barry Barclay's The Neglected Miracle this year at the Wairarapa Film Festival. I feel very honoured to be able to do that. And in the very first year of the Wairarapa Film Festival, I screened Graham Tuckett's Barry Barclay, The Camera on the Shore, which is just a beautiful documentary that introduces people to his ideas, his philosophy, his way of making films. And since then, I've been able to screen one of Barry's films every year, but the opportunity to screen The Neglected Miracle was just absolutely magnificent for this year. I understand that this is something that you've worked on and off since 2019. Please tell me about your journey with the restoration of The Neglected Miracle.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been an absolute pleasure for me to work on it as well. So it's definitely been a bit of a long and winding road, as film preservation can be. So we started working on it, as you mentioned, in 2018, actually. I had a look at the CMS and noticed that. But yes, so we initially preserved and scanned from a dupe negative. So there's always the question when you're doing a film preservation of what material you want to make the master material for your preservation. And there was a tricky thing in this case where the master negative has the superior picture quality but has no titles. And then the dupe negative, which is obviously it goes negative to positive and then back to negative. So it's two generations away, but it has the titles in there. And without the titles, of course, the film's incomplete. So initially, a scan of the dupe neg was made by us. And then, unbeknownst to us, our first issue that we'd had with a scanner doing 16mm was, and it's got by us in one QC, but we found out eventually, was that every 1,000 frames approximately, there was a tiny, almost invisible glitch in one line of the video scan per frame. So one on every 1,000 frames, there was a glitch in one line of the scan.
Oh, wow.
So really, really hard to spot, but it was eventually spotted. So we went back on that and re-scanned that all again. And then eventually when we had to put things down and pick them up and put them down and pick them up, as you know, we had pandemics and shifts of office and things. And eventually we came back to it and decided to actually go from the master negative. and take the longer route of going with that superior picture quality, but then actually having to rebuild the titles entirely from scratch. So that's what we've done. And so the picture now looks better than it's ever looked. And yeah, it's a real joy to watch it. And yeah, they had to rebuild the titles from
wow.
Actual sort of modern fonts. But we did actually emulate the fonts, you know, the typefaces that we used in the original film. Which was a little bit of a Reddit wormhole of asking nerds what font they could identify, which they did in about 20 seconds. And so, yeah, downloaded the fonts and was able to recreate the titles, which was a bit of an effort in its own right, because, of course, the optically transferred text in old films has a bit of a wobble to it, often quite a visible wobble. And we didn't want to lose that quality, you know, the original quality of how the film looked. So even actually sort of copied, tracked some of the wobble in the original text in the Duke negative and applied that to the new type in this new preservation to a much lesser extent, because we didn't want it to be quite as distracting as it was in the original, but still have a touch of that feel of the wobbly 1980s optical film text.
Yeah.
So yes, so that's been a bit of a journey.
Well, I can confirm I did have a test watch as well in Regent 3 cinemas here in Masterton over the weekend, and the cinematography of Roy O'Shea is just truly stunning, and it actually made me wish that I was still in the 1980s.
I know.
Did you get that sense of wanting to go back in time, all the bright colours and just the innocence of that moment.
When all of those beautiful places.
Yes, and I was thinking that.
Yeah, because it travels so far around the world, and all of those places, you just know that they'll be quite different today, right?
I had those thoughts as well. Could we ever travel in those places like that again? Would they look like that? Would the people be like that? What would, you know, what has changed in this time, you know, 40 years on? Gosh, it looked like a wonderful place. All around the world.
Totally.
Because, I mean, that's one thing. I mean, I know that Barry, you know, was in pre-production planning and thinking about this with John O'Shea for 2 years, but then it was 5 years of filming and production. And it was 8 different countries that the crew travelled to to be able to capture the stories of Indigenous farmers, right? And
seed owners. And really, really remote locations as well, you know, like right in the Peruvian, you know, like deep in the foothills of the Andes. And, yeah, these incredible locations in Nicaragua in the middle of a revolution. And, yeah.
Exactly.
Pretty incredible.
It is, it is an incredible piece of filmmaking. It really is. And thank you. Thank you, Richard, for all the work that you've actually put into.
Oh, that's all good.
And everybody in the film preservation team in Natauna as a whole. I love that you'll be there on opening night. So that's this week, Wednesday, the 21st of May. Film starts at 7:30. We'll have some wonderful introductions to this film, to people that knew and remember Barry, as well as you from Natauna, and we'll also have the wonderful Annie Collins, who edited this film with us as well.
Fantastic, yeah. And just while I'm here, I'd love to just meet here the other people that have been involved in it as well. So the rest of the film team, Dr. Leslie Lewis, who's the team leader, and Kurt Otson, who did all the physical work, because of course the bit that I've skipped over is the huge amount of work that goes into physically preserving all of those physical elements and caring for that film over, you know, decades and decades, which has been the ongoing work of Kurt Otson and the film team. And then Sarah Patterson, who's also another team member that does similar work to me, who's also contributed and helped me digitize the SetNag sound that we've used for the film. And then also the incredible work of Damien McDonnell, who's the colourist, who one of the great bonuses for our team is that one of the delays that we've had in preserving it was that we haven't had a colourist in our team. So there's that final last stage, especially I was reminded of this when you talked about the colour.
Mm.
But I've been watching it for all of these years with this quite flat look to it, because when you scan film, of course, you try and make the blacks lifted above the baseline of the sensor and the whites sort of pop down a little bit below the the maximum value that the sensor can capture, so that you know that all of the values that are represented in the film are transferred into the digital likeness. And then at some point you have to get a very unbelievably mystically trained, skilled sort of wizard of colour to come and stretch it back out and make it look how it originally looked in the original version.
Yeah.
As it was released, and that was Damien McNeil, who's an amazing colourist and an award-winning grader. And he sat in, and we were lucky enough as well, when he'd done a pass, to get Annie Collins, the editor extraordinaire, to come in and have a look at it and get a sense of whether it was feeling like the film that she remembered working on back in 1985.
Mm.
And so to get her to be able to come in and sign it off at the embassy in a QC screening was... This really gives you a great sense that you've actually, you know, served
done
the film
it,
and its original intentions. So that's cool.
Amazing.
I can't wait to see it on Wednesday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't wait to see it, to share it with a live audience as well. I mean, I was just blown away sitting in a dark cinema on my own, thinking how privileged and how lucky I was to have that moment. But now it's
awesome.
The wonderful opportunity to share that with a local audience in the town that Barry Buckley was born. So just wonderful to have
Absolutely.
That opportunity. In the town that you
me.
And I
was born in
Marsden. And me
well.
Too,
yeah,
I was about to say that. So, you know, all the good people come from Marsden, right? So
absolutely, yep.
Thank
or
you very
up
much.
There if they're lucky.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, sweet.
Thank you very much for joining me today and for taking the time to talk about the amazing work that you've done. And Ngā mihi nui ki a koe. We'll see you Wednesday night.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Jane. See you soon.